Welcome to the Children's Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Doyle. Thanks for joining me once again. This is part two of a two-part series called Dynamic Children's Church. In our first episode, we talked about the importance of having a children's church and how to get the ball rolling. And I think we left you off last time with the importance of having rules, and I was explaining to you the kinds of rules that I use in my children's church. Part two will be an extension of the same session that you were listening to. In this session, we're going to talk about the various structures that you can use to format a children's church service. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Thank you very much. Okay, I tell the kids this covers all the duh rules. If you wouldn't break these rules at school or at home, duh, don't break them here. Okay? This helps kids understand. And we, you're always going to have those incidents where you have to bring some correction, but this gives you a place to start with. All right, so we've gone over the rules. We help the kids to know what our guidelines are. The next thing that we do is we welcome our visitors. We want visitors to feel welcome. We want them to know that we're glad they're there. So we recognize the visitors. Sometimes we just have them stand up where they are and we have the kids give them a big cheer. Sometimes they come up front and we interview them and find out what their names are and where they're from and what their favorite color is and or their favorite food. One time a children's pastor friend of mine said, he went down the aisle, or went down the row and said, "All right, tell me, what is your favorite movie?" And these kids, you know, they had their favorite movies. And this one kid said something like Friday the 13th or something like that. And he went, "Okay, let's move on to the next kid." So you might not want to ask what their favorite movie is, all right? Unless you want to find out, what does this kid's parents let this kid watch, you know? But you could ask him a whole bunch of different questions. But we welcome the visitors, and then we always give the visitor something, okay? We give the visitor something, and we give the person that brought the visitor something. At our church, we have a cafe with a place where you can get yourself a coffee. Also, we have a hybrid Italian soda called a Silly Soda. It's basically flavored mineral water, and the kids get to pick which flavored syrup or syrups that they want to put in it, and it's like they've gotten to create their own drink right there. So they get a coupon for a free Silly Soda. Now, there are a couple churches that are trying something, and I would like to do it. Right now I can't because we're in a set-up, tear-down situation for our kids' ministry. But they do a thing called the Big Comfy Couch. And what happens is, if you're a visitor, or you brought a visitor, all the people who are visitors or brought a visitor get to sit in the front row, which is made up of big comfy couches. And they get recognized, they get to sit on the big comfortable couch, and for part of the service they get to eat popcorn or they get to eat a special prize that they've gotten, and at some point then they have to put it away. But they do a thing called a big comfy couch. And that might be something as an incentive to get kids to bring visitors to church. Okay? So we welcome our visitors. And then, let's see, we got some other announcements. Our Adventure Club. And then we always have a time of giving. So we talk about money, we talk about tithing, we talk about stewardship. And typically, we'll give about a 3 to 5 minute presentation on the importance of tithing, on the importance of giving, on stewardship, on missions, something like that. This helps kids understand that this should be an important part of their spiritual life, trusting God with their money. And we take up offering just like you would in adult church. And so we sometimes we may have an offertory where a kid does something, but usually we'll just play great music or show a fun music video. Sometimes we have kids as ushers collecting the offering as they pass the buckets. Sometimes we have kids that run up front and drop it into the scales. How many of you have done that before? We have to weigh the offering. Okay, this just is a fun way to collect the offering. Okay, and I found that kids like to put their money in weird things. And so if you want to get kids wanting to give money, now you know what, they'll give it with the wrong intention. They want to put it in the weird thing. But after a while, they're going to start to get it. For instance, I have a friend that in one of his classrooms, it's a jungle theme, and on the wall he has this great big monkey's face, and the mouth is open. and you go up and drop your offering in the monkey's mouth. It's weird, but he said every kid wants to put their money in the monkey's mouth. Okay? They just do. One time we did, I found the biggest pair of shoes that I could find, and we were doing a missions offering, and I said, we're collecting money for souls. Get it? Souls? Never mind. We've collected the offering and everything from football helmets to cowboy hats. Different hats and things are fun. Different kinds of bags and buckets. And you know what? Kids like putting their stuff in weird things, so find a way to do that, okay? At some point during the service, we're also going to take some time to do a little bit more slow, quiet, meaningful, focused worship. And so I think that's what's next. Yes, the song Amazing Love, I think that's what's on here. You can barely hear it. Yeah, that's what it is. So we'll use this time as a time where kids can, we want them to stand. We'll invite kids to come up front to the altar and pray and worship. We encourage kids to lift their hands and sing. And we may even, at some point, between some of the slower songs, if there's more than one, or right before, we'll take some time to teach kids what it means to worship. And it doesn't have to be long. And sometimes you have to give kids some instructions that we're not just going to stand there like this. That we want everybody, come on, let's lift up our hands. If everybody does it, it won't seem so bad. And that's not a bad thing. So help kids and encourage kids and train them and help them understand how to worship. So some of the slower worship songs. Okay. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to show you how all this works together within the different formats with the time that we have left. Following that, then, we're going to go into the main teaching of our service. Now, there could have been a couple of other things that have happened beforehand that help us to introduce what we're going to talk about. But at this point, toward the middle of the service, we're going to go through the main message of the service. I think on this one, I just have a variety of slides that we've used to talk about the life of Christ. Yep. So, let's just, we'll move it ahead till we get to the couple of them. He chooses disciples and changes water to wine. Centurion's faith, as we talked about just a moment ago. Have faith in God, Mark 11:22. Okay, Jesus sends out his followers. And then I think the last one, Jesus and the kids. That's what we talked about this last time. Matthew 19:14. And then this has become a little bit more of a focused, serious time to talk about our topic for the day, our main theme. Now, at some point in the middle of the service, we're going to actually go into some prayer time. We don't save our prayer time to the very, very end. We do it toward the middle. And I'm going to show you why here in just a few moments. After we're done doing our prayer time, and we're going to do a number of different things during that prayer time. We may have kids come forward to pray for needs. We may have kids... most every week we do a salvation altar call. Okay? Then we'll usually always have some sort of prayer time that relates to the message of the day. A closing challenge, something that we want them to hear about from God. Come forward, let's pray about those things. Okay? We're also then, as we're done with our prayer time, we're going to have some other things that follow up our prayer time. We're going to continue teaching the kids, even after we're done praying about the things we've just taught them. And we're going to come out of it on a high note. We're going to do something fun, maybe some big group game or review time or something where the kids are going to be excited so that they can leave church on a high note. And I'm going to tell you something very important. There are two questions that parents always ask their kids when they come out of church. One, did you have fun? And if your kids come out of children's church going, I don't know. Or if they come right out of children's church from an altar service and they come out going like this, would you have fun? I don't guess so. Well, what did you learn about? That's question number two. And if they go, I don't know. Or, what did you learn about? Jesus. What did you learn about? God? You ever get that answer that sounds like a question, like, did we learn about God? Right? And so what you want to do is you want to end on a high note. Now, let's talk a little bit about the chart that you have in your hand there, okay? And actually the rest of this outline that says the structure, this is where we're going to kind of talk about those things, okay? So let's go into that now. Let's talk about this chart that you have in your lap. It looks something like this, and what we'll do is we're going to fill this in together. Now, we're going to talk about that middle figure that looks like an hourglass. This is what's called the intensity, children's audience intensity flow. Now, this works typically anytime you have an audience of children, whether it's a classroom, an entertaining show, a children's church. And have you noticed that children's church seems to be this hybrid of a class and a show? Let's just be honest. That's what it is. So I've included a couple of different models here, and we're going to show you how these things actually work together. So let's talk about the children's audience intensity flow. When a group of kids come into a room, the first thing that happens is that we need to do something that's fun, exciting, or rowdy. Because when a kid comes into the room, they don't come in and just sit down and be quiet. There's those couple of kids that do that because that's just their personality. But have you noticed that boys and girls are different? Have you noticed this? Boys want to wrestle each other. They would like to kill each other because that would be fun. Girls want to sit and talk to each other and pick on the boys and chat and be busy doing something, writing notes, looking through the Bible, showing each other things that they have. Okay? There's just all this commotion that's going on when they first come into a room. This is why when they first come into a class, we want to do something fun, exciting. We want to match their rowdy level. This is just naturally how they are. And so many times when kids come into a class, we go, all right, everybody sit down and be very quiet now. And kids are going, but nope, you sit down and be quiet. Now, we can get kids to sit down and be quiet eventually. But it goes so much against the grain of who a kid is. So why not just take what they're already naturally used to doing and work with that? Use that to our advantage. Okay? So it's toward the beginning then that we're going to do the fun, exciting things. We're going to do the crazy games. We're going to come in and do the countdown. We're going to do the fun, exciting action songs. This is also the point of the service when we're going to do something funny and crazy that relates to the lesson, usually an introduction. And typically we'll have a character come in and get something messed up, and they're doing something silly and weird, and we have to help the character understand that that's not what we're learning about. I like to call this the service prequel. And if you see there, it says, teach the main points of your lesson in 5 minutes as an introduction. You're going to tell the kids this is what we're going to learn about today. And so you're already doing some things that you're going to teach them, but you're giving them a hint of this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. So that fun, exciting, rowdy things, those things happen at the beginning. But you start to bring it down to a serious point. Somewhere about halfway to two-thirds into your service is when you can get kids into a mode where things are serious and focused. They've gotten their energy out. They're used to being there. Now, they're focused. You can start being a little more serious with them. You can start teaching them things that you would never be able to teach them at the very beginning of the class. Because they're focused. You've got them. And it's during this time that you're going to want to give them your solid content. This is where you're going to want to give them the most important object lesson, visual aid, teaching time, the thing that you want them to walk away with. And it's also during this time where, following that experience of teaching, you want them to come to a point of decision. So we're going to pray about it. We're going to have altar time. We're actually going to sing our slow songs during this time. And typically what we'll do is, right about here is where we'll start singing the slow songs to get the kids focused. So we don't do fast songs and then, okay, everybody, get serious, we're going to do slow songs. And now, okay, pay attention, we're going to do something crazy for the lesson. And now listen. We're going to work with their intensity level. So we come down to a serious moment. We're going to pray. Now, the reason that we put our altar and prayer time in here is for two reasons. One, it works with their psychological needs. Okay? It works with who they are as a kid. But number two, let's say that the Holy Spirit does something exciting in your children's church and really starts to deal with kids. Did you know that God can do that? The Holy Spirit can move in your children's church. I have a whole bunch of time left then here that we can allow kids to pray, we can minister to them, we can teach on this serious note into this part. And I'm going to tell you something. The stuff right here is negotiable. The things that we put here, and I'll tell you about that now, that stuff can be thrown away. Yeah, we've prepared it, but you know what? It's disposable. So we end the service fun, exciting, and rowdy. Kids know when the end of class time is coming, and they start getting fidgety. The boys start punching each other. The girls start chatting and talking, and they start picking on each other. Have you noticed this? So occupy them, but occupy them with that same intensity level. So what we're going to do here is, guess what? Sometimes I might come up with a great object lesson that teaches the very thing that we've just taught them. We can still teach it to them because we're still learning about that thing. A great thing that you can do is have another character come in that completely messes up what you've just taught the kids. Guess what? The best thing you could do is allow the kids to correct that character. Every kid wants to get an A+. So let them get an A+. And when you say, kids, is that what we're talking about? Did we talk about Jesus water skiing today? And the kids all go, no! Who would like to raise their hand and tell Frankie up here what we talked about? And that kid gets to talk. We talked about Jesus walking on the water. And Frankie the puppet gets it. And we give him and the kid that corrected him a big round of applause and a big cheer because they got to tell the character what they were getting wrong. Then we'll usually end with some, like I said, some maybe a fun song at the end with actions, maybe another review game or something to help them focus. We'll give out prizes, that sort of thing. Okay? So let's take a look at another model. This is the old vaudeville program format. This is actually the format on the left of your page. This is the format that back in the early 1900s, they started using this. The early 1900s. Does anybody remember that? No, okay. I hope not. All right. This is the format that they would use to structure the various acts that they would have come in. This very structure is used today, little do they know it, some of your pastors out there, in preparing a sermon. Okay, so let's talk about it. The first thing that happens, and it's going to follow the intensity level. First, there's an introduction. They would do something right away in the show that would get the people's attention, that would be fun, exciting, get people laughing and clapping. Well, we've done that, haven't we? We've talked about that. And so they wanted to do that to prepare the audience for something fun and exciting is going to happen here. This is going to be great. The next thing that would happen is there was a thing called identification. The next act or speaker, maybe it was the MC, would come out and help the audience know, this is why we're here. Today, you're going to see incredible acts of strength. Today, you're going to see this guy juggle flaming kitty cats. Today, you're going to see things that you've never experienced, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing, whatever the lingo of the day was. And sometimes maybe they would do something like that to grab their attention again, to help them to know this is what we're doing. So think about this. Being in a children's church, we're going to do something fun and exciting right away. We're going to grab their attention. We're going to help them to identify why they're here. Today, we're going to talk about faith and walking by faith. And so the character comes in and they're holding up rubber feet. And they don't understand walking by faith, so you have to help them understand it. So you've just introduced to your group, this is what we're going to talk about. This is why we're here. We're going to learn about faith today. The next thing that would happen is participation. They would try and find an act that would get audience members up on stage helping the performer. Maybe it was a feat of strength. Maybe they're going to tie this guy up with ropes. Maybe they would get people up there and do some big crazy demonstration. But they'd get people up participating. They would get everybody in the audience doing something. Well, don't we do that in children's church? We want the kids to participate. Okay? So we get them singing. We get kids up helping with object lessons, things like that. All right, the next thing that happens is the solid content. This is the point in the show when the main featured act would come out. And usually this was an act that was not a comedy thing. It was usually somebody that was amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, now let's give a big hand for... And this guy would come out and do something, and maybe he was a singer, maybe he was a magician. It didn't matter. It usually wasn't somebody funny. It was the solid featured act, and everybody was ready for that guy to perform, or that troupe, or that family. Okay? Now, there would be a response time where they want people to applaud. They wanted people to yell encore. They wanted people to respond to what happened. Well, isn't that what we do in children's ministry? We give kids a chance to respond at an altar time during prayer. So we have a response time. The last thing that would happen in the show was not that the last act would be done and everybody would go home. There was also an act that would offer affirmation. It was usually an act that was a little bit more lighthearted. They would come out, get the audience laughing, clapping, smiling. Hope you had fun. Was it great? Yes. Go home, and then you're going to come back next time and see the show again, aren't you? Yes, we are. It was a great show. And if you think about it, this is really one of the formats that we use in creating a children's church service. But now let's look at the original education model. You ready for this? Three things. Tell them what you're going to teach them. You remember this? This is where the character comes out and has everything messed up. And you're reminding the character, no, we're going to learn about this. We're going to learn about this. Maybe there's also a song that you're going to sing that has something to do with the lesson. Maybe there is an object lesson, a very simple one that you can do an introduction with. But you're introducing your entire audience to, this is what we're going to learn about. Then, you teach them. You tell them, okay, this is what we're going to learn about, and then you actually teach it to them. This is where that solid content is. This is where you're serious and focused, because that's where they're serious and focused, when you can teach them. And you come out of that by doing this. Tell them what you've just taught them. Sorry, there's a typo there. Don't spell it like that, by the way. So this is the time where there's a review. There's a review time. They come out of the serious, we've just taught you this, but now we're going to find out if you've been paying attention. I'm going to tell you what I've just taught you, but I'm going to get you to tell me what I've just taught you. And so that's where this actually extends beyond just the end of children's church. And let me just tell you a couple of things that you should know about. You can see it here. There should be a review, games or quizzing, something to get the kids paying attention and giving you feedback to what you just talked about. Rewards for listening. Quiet seat prizes. Give the kids something they will want. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Perception is the key. One time, during National Dairy Month, every week we gave away a dairy product. But we made it seem like this is the greatest thing you could ever get in children's church. Kids, today, you're getting an entire quart jar of cottage cheese. And the kids went crazy and went home, Mom, I got a big thing of cottage cheese. But it was the quiet seat prize. They thought this was the greatest thing in the world. So it doesn't have to be expensive. It can be if that's what your budget allows. But it just has to be something that you can let the kids perceive as this would be a great prize for you to have. Okay? This is not bribery, by the way. This is called incentive. Now, I don't believe that you should always just be giving kids everything every time they do something right. But if you announce right away, we will be giving away prizes for this, then you're just simply offering an incentive. If you'd like to argue with me over that, that would be fine. But let me just state this. I was very glad that when I was 10 years old, somebody was offered a prize to get me to come to church so I would get saved. So this is not bribery. It's an incentive. Don't pick favorites. I call this quiet seat prize Calvinism. If you've predetermined who's going to get the prize beforehand, because they're your favorite kid, then don't give away prizes. Give kids a fair chance. If it's that kid that just never pays attention, and he's that kid that you would like to like lock in one of the Sunday school closets someday, and he does a really good job of paying attention, and you hand him that prize and say, "You know what, Joey, you did a great job paying attention today. What's your name?"
Brittany.
Joey, you did a great job. You know what Joey's thinking? Maybe I ought to pay attention a little more often here. I could win that prize. So don't pick favorites. And then the next thing I think is a great thing to do is do take-home pages and bulletins. This will help kids retain what was just taught. Have a section where they can answer the questions, read required scriptures, memorize the main verse, and find answers to fun quiz questions for points or prizes. And we've done things, and I've brought a handful here. You can take a look at it if you'd like to. This is a copy of some of our bulletins. On the inside, here, I'll give this to you. You can pass that down, take a look at it. There you go. This is just one example. This is not a complete or final detail here. You can do something like this. It doesn't have to be as elaborate. It can be simply a page that has the scripture verse on it. But it helps them to know this is what we just talked about. So take a look at those, pass it around. If I don't get these back, I'm not bothered by that. In there you see there's a short section talking about this is what we've talked about today. This is what we learned about. Here's some quiz questions. Answer these. Here's some of these may have a little puzzle in it. There's a review. Some review questions, there is the scripture verse, there is a weekly scripture verse reading, so every day of the week you have something to read, and we want parents to check that off. You can bring that back, you get prizes for it, you get to earn points towards something for that. So that's just one way that you can help kids to review what's happening. Okay? So what we have here is a structure made up of a hybrid of various structures. But I would encourage you to take the time and pray and ask God what He wants you to do with your kids. And as I said, this format can work with a lot of different kinds of children's worship services. Sometimes there are churches that want to go into a big group, small group setting, where everybody starts out in a big group and you break into small groups. Well, during that small group, guess what? That's all going to want to happen during this serious and focused time. They can break into small groups. It doesn't have to be everybody in one room all together right now. This format can work. And maybe taking a look at this can help you in planning future events with kids. Because some of these formats can actually happen for big events where you have the kids doing all kinds of fun things all day or all night, various activities. So give it some thought. Take these home with you. Pray over it and ask God to help you. Let's pray before we go. And if you have any questions at the end, then we can answer that. Otherwise, if you need to get going, you can get going, okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we've had together. I pray every person that is here, they just take some of this information and be encouraged by it and be able to do something in their church, maybe that's different, unique. Maybe they'll be able to take this and pass it on to other people that would help them in teaching kids. But Father, I pray that this has been beneficial and that, Lord, you bless every person here and help them to just do their very best for you when it comes to ministering to boys and girls. We love you. And if you love Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for coming to class, and we'll see you another time.
Well, there you have it, some dynamic children's church help. I hope this gives you some good ideas as far as what you could do in your children's church. If you have some comments, ideas, or thoughts, you can email me, jamie@jamiedoyle.com. That's jamie@jamiedoyle.com. If you want to check out the website, you can do so, jamiedoyle.com. It's that easy. We'll see you next time right here at the Children's Ministry Podcast. Thanks for joining me. Have a great night.